The Alcopedia, second edition, by Eric P. Anthony, read by Graham Dunlop. Introduction. Language is a medium of communication to facilitate the efficient exchange of information. Human beings have a natural built-in ability to speak, listen, and exchange information based on the acoustical vibrations of sound. Through the study of cymatics, we've learned that geometric forms arise in nature via the resonance of sound. Sound geometrizes. Long before we knew of cymatics, human beings intuitively assigned geometric symbols to sound with the innate ability to relate signs to particular meanings. It's a cognitive process experts call semiosis. All human languages depend on it. Today, we call individually written geometric symbols representing the shortest measures of sound, letters. Letters combine into longer units of language called words. Words are special. They convey meaning. When grammatically combined, words unlock unlimited potential, limited by only the mind, to allow thoughts to rise into expression. Thought development and language development evolve in tandem. Ultimately, what is language? It is a function of consciousness. What is consciousness? What is mind? Is there a language of pure consciousness? What I've learned through a long alchemical journey is that creation arises out of a source singularity residing in an abstract higher noumenal realm of pure consciousness. It precedes creation, matter, time, and space with an absolute infinite eternal existence. It is through an interaction between three special dimensions within the source singularity that all of creation emerges. These three dimensions are awareness, life, and love. When the source becomes aware of its own life, it loves. Because the source is infinite, its life is infinite, and therefore its love is infinite. The infinite energy of love spontaneously sparks creation into existence. This is the origin of zero-point energy. It didn't do this just once. It does this ad infinitum. Naturally, the first thing to exist is the most difficult thing to define, because nothing precedes it to differentiate it or give it any context. Consciousness is the first thing. It has always existed. Consciousness doesn't arise from creation. Creation arises from consciousness. Such a notion of creation is a problem for many mainstream scientists because it suggests the existence of God. And since its inception, mainstream science has sought to explain away God. When it comes to consciousness, religion is equally challenged. As consciousness expands to compel our thought development, so too does our language expand to express our deeper realizations of consciousness and its ultimate source. And as a result, our view of God naturally evolves. This dynamic challenges pre-existing dogma, for the language of Scripture is not allowed to be changed, and the orthodox interpretation of meaning is not allowed to be reinterpreted. Yet, scientists and theologians are sworn to the same thing, the truth. To the second question, what is mind? Matter spontaneously arises out of the source singularity of consciousness, but the two circle back together to form the mind. The mind arises when consciousness and matter combine to form a living being. To the third question, is there a language of pure consciousness, a language that is beyond the mind, before the emergence of matter? Yes, there is. And that's the main subject matter of this book. The Alcopedia is the product of a lifelong alchemical transformation process I underwent in the process of unifying the human mind, the culmination of which is mythologized as the Philosopher's Stone. In the third stage of a three-stage process of unifying the mind, which in Hermetic lore is famously called the Three Mountains, we learn how to communicate empathically with a set of living forces underlying the universe which give rise to and organize the process of creation. I call these forces the cosmic quanta. During the universal alchemical process of unifying the mind, the cosmic quanta relay the story of creation directly to the human soul, beyond the mind, via the language of pure consciousness. The reason it does this is that creation initially bursts forth spontaneously out of an overabundance of energy, love, from within the source. Because creation arises spontaneously, it initially arises outside the awareness of the source singularity of consciousness. It is only out of our willingness to return to the source and realize how everything came forth that the universe can integrate the mind and complete the process of creation within the human being. The intercession of a conscious mind is required to complete the process of creation. As creation is sparked unconsciously into existence, it can only achieve completion through a conscious return to the source from which it sprang. A sustained dual reflection between the mind of creation and the source is essential to the process. Many of the archetypal characters in many of humanity's most popular religions, mythologies, and fabled stories are all representing an underlying set of divine principles and organizational constructs of energy and consciousness residing at the quantum level of existence, which give rise to consciousness and all of creation. These same forces, called the cosmic quanta, are attempting to speak to us through our stories via the dynamic of the collective unconscious by utilizing the language of pure consciousness. At this point, it is necessary to define the term divinity. Divinity is that which was never created but yet still exists. Divinity has always existed as the ultimate source of all things. Mythologically, the way creation initially arises out of the divine source is allegorized in religion as the Great Fall, but it's actually a real quantum-based process. In reality, it is creation itself which has fallen, not some heavenly deity. But creation has an embedded awareness, and thus ensues all the mythologies of the unconscious to make the ineffable tangible. Creation initially arises in darkness. Darkness is a metaphor used to describe the initial lack of awareness existing between the source consciousness and creation when creation first emerges. The source quickly becomes aware of creation, and when it does, it loves it and wills that creation should not perish, but should be saved and reintegrated with its eternal being, so it can last forever. Sound familiar yet? When this will arises out of the quantum cosmos, mythologically, this is the light, or logos. Will equals word logos. Mirroring the three original dimensions of consciousness, the firstborn, darkness, and the second-born, light, possess the same three dimensions, just a different permutation of the three. The first permutation in any trinity is awareness. The awareness in the first trinity, divine trinity, is resonant awareness, Father. It's called the Father because within it is the seed of all creation. The awareness in the second trinity, Aradonic trinity, born in darkness, is perspective awareness, I.O. The awareness in the third trinity, sacred trinity, born in the light, is reflective awareness, logos. The second permutation in any trinity is life. The life force of the first trinity is the divine soul, the eternal everlasting life force of the Father. The life force of the second trinity, the life force of I.O., born in darkness, is the erotic soul. The life force of the third trinity, the life force of the logos, born in the light, is the noetic soul. The noetic soul is the human soul within humanity. They are the same. The noetic soul is the only soul begotten directly by the will of the divine Father to intervene with and bear the weight of creation, to save the erotic soul lost in darkness, so all three souls may unify and creation may continue onward forever. The third permutation in any trinity is a form of radiant energy. The radiant energy of the first trinity is love, otherwise known historically as the divine spirit and Holy Spirit, or spirit for short. It arises with the Father and the divine soul to form the original monad, Ein Sof. The radiant energy of the second trinity is the atomic matter energy of creation, which binds to form all things in the universe. It arises with I.O. and the erotic soul to form the dyad. The radiant energy of the third trinity is the noumena, She arises immaculately by will of the Father with the Logos and Noetic Soul as the Nuad to save creation and reintegrate the monad. Mythologically, the sought-after reintegrated monad is Christ, or the Philosopher's Stone. It is the unified mind. The two conceptions of the Source, one, Io, and two, the Logos, both have their own trinities, which mirror the original divine trinity. The first conception of the divine source occurs spontaneously outside the will of the Father, in darkness and descent from the Spirit. The second conception of the divine source is the proverbial immaculate conception. It is immaculate because it is conceived directly by the Father's will. It is a process called thelesis. In mythology, the forces descending in line of the Spirit, love, are symbolized by the feminine because the feminine is associated with love, while the forces of will, logos, are associated with the masculine. Love and will combine to form the universe. The pairing of darkness and light, love and will, Io and logos in the universal creation process is the origin of sexuality and duality within all things. These permutations recounted in order of emergence are 1. Father, 2. Divine Soul, 3. Spirit, 4. Io, 5. Erotic Soul, 6. Matter Energy, 7. Logos, 8. Noetic Soul, and 9. Noumena. These are the 9 cardinal permutations of consciousness, with the first 3 being uncreated and the following 6 being created. The number 6 appears repeatedly in mythology relative to the process of creation, such as the 6 days of creation in the book of Genesis. There are 2 more permutations that extend beyond the forces of consciousness into the mind. 10, Idomus, and 11, the Gorgon. Idomus and the Gorgon form the 2 polar sides of the id complex. Idomus is the beast of the sea. The Gorgon is the beast of the earth. They're significant and arise unconsciously into world mythology. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head, a blasphemous name. The Book of Revelation, 13:1. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. The Book of Daniel, 7:7. These 2 verses above refer to Idomus, the 10th permutation, symbolized by 10 horns. Let's continue with the Book of Daniel, 7:8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. The little horn is the 11th permutation rising with the 10th permutation within the human psyche. It is the Gorgon. It blocks our inner sight of the first 3 forces. Unintegrated and left in darkness and chaos, the Gorgon gives rise to what is worst in human beings. One of its prominent features is narcissism, speaking great things. Narcissism is a psychosomatic disease of the mind that begins forming in childhood due to an inability to process and resolve emotions. As part of the disease, the mind offers delusional constructs of self and reality to compensate, and the brain further rewires to reinforce the disease. It typically gets worse throughout life. All sociopaths and psychopaths are narcissistic, but not all narcissists are sociopathic or psychopathic. The difference between sociopaths and psychopaths is that sociopaths are made, psychopaths are born. Revelation 13:18. Then I saw another beast that rose out of the earth, the Gorgon. It had 2 horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast, Idomus, on its behalf. And it makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound had been healed. This calls for wisdom. Let anyone with understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a person. Its number is 666. The repeating number pattern, 666, refers to the repeating compounding processes of creation. This indicates that the beast of the earth, the Gorgon, is a product of creation. The reason 6 is used in the repeating number series is because the beast of the earth is the product of matter energy, compounding in on itself within the mind. Again, all of this is a natural quantum-based process between consciousness and matter, whose interaction is known as alchemy. It is a process I believe quantum physicists will one day be able to witness, measure, study, and explain with their own language. Why? Because the process of creation is not a one-and-done process. It continues to this day and will continue forever, ad infinitum. The alchemical process plays out in scales. The three major scales are the cosmic, planetary, and individual. On a cosmic scale, the process has already completed itself because it happened outside of space-time. The completion of the process on a cosmic scale is what caused the known universe to emerge, within which all the laws of physics came into existence. However, the planetary and individual scales are attempting to reconcile inside of space-time, driven by the law of one, the law of unity. Because the ultimate source of all things is absolute and infinite, the process is playing out inside space-time within fractal scales, in an attempt to square the circle. However, it's a divine paradox. Because the ratio of pi has a never-ending integer, the expansion of the universe and the reconciliation of the inner scales is forever. The expansion of the universe is driven forever by an unresolvable divine paradox. The beauty in the divine paradox is that creation has infinite runway, and therefore its potential is unlimited. The will of the original source consciousness, which some call the cosmic consciousness, whose original unity or original monad, which the Kabbalists call Ein Sof, gives rise to what is called the Alpha Principle. The Alpha Principle cannot be averted. The Alpha Principle is that all things must eventually achieve a unity with the source from which all things originally emerged via a harmonic sympathetic resonance, to fulfill the law of one. It is this will that immaculately conceives the noetic soul, a sacred spark residing behind all the ego defense mechanisms of the human mind, with the innate capacity to reconnect the mind and body of its creation back to the source. It is the prime directive of the noetic soul. This will generates a force in the universe to guide everything back to that eventual unity. I call this force Alpha. The ancients also recognized this force. Depending on the tradition, they called it Kundalini, the great dragon, the serpent, destiny, even grace itself. To this day, early 2023, physicists still cannot yet explain how the universe expanded so quickly during what they call the Big Bang. They also cannot yet adequately explain its continued expansion, what they call dark energy. And they cannot yet explain a large, unobservable pulling force in the cosmos they attribute to dark matter. This force is so powerful on a large scale that physicists say that its dark matter must comprise 85% of the total matter of the universe. Yet, its matter is undetectable. Most likely, this force exists outside the bounds of creation and does not arise from an invisible dark matter. The pulling force that physicists attribute to an unseen dark matter is most likely not due to any matter at all. Alpha is the most likely candidate and should be explored as a developing hypothesis. All of these mysteries correspond to the alchemy of creation. Physicists are doing well in explaining the physics within creation, but they're not even scratching the surface yet in understanding the physics that drives its emergence into existence, or the physics acting upon creation to steer it to higher and higher levels of reality. These two other types of physics from a higher physics involving the interaction of matter and consciousness, otherwise known as alchemy. Why are the forces of the cosmic quanta trying so hard to communicate with us? And what are they trying to tell us? The cosmic quanta are continually broadcasting that there's a special reason to the origin and purpose of sentient humanoid life. Sentient humanoid life is not unique to just the planet we call Earth. It is spread throughout the cosmos with one universal prime directive. What this prime directive is, the story of its discovery, and the saga that came to unfold between worlds in an attempt to fulfill it, deny it, or steer it, becomes the greatest story of the cosmos. Its story is being told and retold time and time again by the collective unconscious until this one universal prime directive is finally fulfilled within us. One of the principal rules of the collective unconscious is that the further historical figures recede in time, the more their characters take on mythological parallels to the various forces of consciousness. I call this dynamic theopomorphism, as a direct mirror opposite effect to anthropomorphism, where human attributes are added to the forces of consciousness. Anthropomorphism and theopomorphism are dualistic and work in tandem with each other. It's how the universe speaks to us. This dynamic doesn't lessen the reality of various historical figures. It's just that their stories echo more than actual history. They also echo the forces of consciousness. Admittedly, the dynamic of unconsciously attributing human qualities to the forces of consciousness, anthropomorphic, and or attributing godly or angelic natures to various historical figures, theopomorphic, has been a source of great confusion among the masses throughout history. To unconfuse, untangle the web, and clarify the stage, the real history of various ancient religious figures should be re-examined in a purely mundane context, and the nature of consciousness and the story it's trying to tell us should be deciphered and made known. The Alchipedia clarifies how theopomorphic principles are applied and where they arise out of. It arises out of the universal story of consciousness and creation, and the need for these forces to speak to us, to compel us in the work to reintegrate the monad. For clarifying the true nature of the historical figures that have been theopomorphized, modern scholars are busy at work unraveling this mystery. Indeed, reading the Bible, for example, from the basis of pure literal history reveals a completely different story than the interpreted meanings of mainstream religion. But note, as the true nature of the historical figures in the Bible are eventually revealed, this does not necessarily undermine the universal story of creation and consciousness that the cosmic quanta have overlaid upon these historical figures in an attempt to speak to us and reveal the purpose and prime directive of the noetic soul. Knowing this dynamic, however, helps to clarify all of it, including real history, the forces of consciousness, and the process of creation. Ironically, by clarifying the real history of figures that have been reimagined by religion as something divine, aids us in seeing a clear picture of the story of creation and consciousness that the forces of the cosmic quanta and the collective unconscious are trying to tell us. The noetic soul within humanity has a divine mission, or prime directive. We all have the same mission. Whatever earthly purpose we think we have in this world, it's all secondary to this prime directive. Fragments of this long-forgotten cosmic story have been unconsciously sown into most of the Earth's mythologies by human beings themselves, via the dynamics of the collective unconscious. Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life, and you will call it fate. Carl Jung. The unconscious is the sphere of the mind that the conscious mind is not yet aware. The collective unconscious is a transpersonal source of shared information stored collectively between all human beings within the unconscious recesses of the psyche. All human beings continually upload to and download from the collective unconscious. The greatest mysteries of existence await to be discovered within the eternal depths of the unconscious mind of the human being and the collective unconscious of humanity as a whole. It is from within the depths of the unconscious that we endeavor to fathom the very existence of God. It is for this reason that Jung said an enlightened person is someone who has been swallowed by the unconscious. The universal story the collective unconscious has been sowing into the myths and legends of world mythology via motif and symbolism has an element of actual truth and history behind it. It is the story of consciousness. It is the story of creation. It is the story of humanity. It is the story of us. It is the greatest story ever told. In context of this cosmic story, the Alkapedia re-examines words. And being based on words, we now proceed into the Index of Terms. The Index of Terms is not narrated in the audiobook, but can be read in the print copies or ebook version of the book. If you see nothing here, you will not be able to seek further. You will be blind, even though you are in the midst of light. Daniel Stoltz von Stoltenberg. Viridarium Chemicum, 1624. The Alkapedia is dedicated in loving memory to my father, who always said I needed a glossary. A. The Absolute. As a noun, the Absolute is the infinite, abstract, uncreated realm from which all of creation comes forth. It is said to be the ultimate reality, or only true reality, which precedes all of creation. Everything else is a shade of gray or distortion of that ultimate reality. The Absolute always was and always will be. It is absolute because it has no correspondence or relativity to anything within creation. Only the original divine monad or cosmic singularity from which all things come forth resides in the absolute abstract space. The original divine monad has many names depending on the philosophical source. In Western alchemy and the Kabbalah, one such name for the original divine monad is the term Ein Sof. Similar or equivalent terms. George Hegel, the Absolute. Eric P. Antony, Causal A. Mahayana Buddhism, Arupiya Dhatu, Formless Realm. Hasidic Judaism, dwelling place of Atmas or Atmut. Hinduism, Brahmaloka, Brahmapura, Satyaloka. Sufism, Noor Ahadi, Hakika or Hakikat. Taoism, Wuji. Theosophy, realm of Atma Buddhi, Atman. Zoroastrianism, domain of the one eternal light. Ein Sof. Ein Sof is the original unity of forces which precede all of creation. It is the original divine unity of God. It is the original divine monad. Ein Sof is the God particle within the quantum cosmos. It is divine. Divinity, by its very nature, is paradoxical. The definition of divinity is that which was never born, procreated, or permutated. Ein Sof always was and always will be. It has an absolute eternal existence and is indestructible and untarnishable. Ein Sof is the cosmic consciousness expressed in unity. There are three dimensions within the unity of Ein Sof, which are 1. Awareness, 2. Life, and 3. Love. Ein Sof precedes creation and all permutations of consciousness, mind, or matter. Ein Sof is absolute because there is nothing which precedes it, to limit it or define it. The domain of divinity in which Ein Sof exists is called Causal A, or the Absolute. The word Ein Sof, or Ein Sof, traces back to the Kabbalah and generally means endless one, eternal one, or infinite one. Similar or equivalent terms, Mahayana Buddhism, Tathagata Garbha, womb of all Buddhas, Hasidic Judaism, Atmus or Atmut, Hinduism, Brahma, Godhead within Ein Sof, see the Father, Sufism, Ruh, Batin or Kab, innermost hidden self, Taoism, Wuji, Theosophy, Atma Buddhi, Atman, Zoroastrianism, the one eternal light. Some may attribute Ahura Mazda in Zoroastrianism as equating with Ein Sof, but if studied carefully, Ahura Mazda aligns with the Logos. See Logos. Akashic Records. The Akashic records are the memories of the cosmos embedded in the underlying abstract of the universe that can be accessed by a conscious mind. The term Akashic stems from the Sanskrit term Akasha, which means ether, sky, or atmosphere. In Theosophy and Anthroposophy, the Akashic records were more closely equated with the collective unconscious, or noosphere, in its entirety. In other schools of thought, the Akashic records are purely the memories embedded in the collective unconscious, but is not the collective unconscious in its entirety. It is widely believed that Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce accessed the Akashic records and saw memories of the future embedded in non-linear time. Alchemy. Alchemy as a word essentially means transformation. As a subject, alchemy has a broad history dating back many thousands of years to before recorded history and has both Eastern and Western traditions. The Eastern traditions are centered in China. Western alchemy is centered in Egypt and is integral to Hermetic philosophy involving spiritual transformation and the elevation of the human condition. It is legend to be the first of two original philosophies, or natural sciences, with its twin sister being astrology. Both Western and Eastern alchemical traditions have similar aims: immortality, longevity, and overall well-being. Later, the term alchemy became associated with the pursuit to transform base metals into gold, such as with medieval European alchemy, where many of its metallurgic processes were adopted as metaphors for the deeper spiritual alchemical process. The real-world pursuit to alchemically transform metal into gold eventually gave rise to modern chemistry. In the realm of spiritual alchemy, alchemy is the interaction of matter and consciousness. It is a psychosomatic process that rewires the brain and unifies the mind until reaching a self-actualizing state of being. Various traditions have different methods to achieve this same aim. Alchemy, developmental stages. One of the primary premises of the spiritual alchemical process is that the human being is born incomplete. The human mind arises and develops in a highly fragmented condition between all the nature-instilled programs, ego defense mechanisms, super-ego scripts, learned personality traits, and subconsciously adopted social behaviors, with only a small percentage left for clarity of mind and free will. That small degree of free will and clarity are often lost below the turbulent sea of the human mind during the course of life. The human soul, also known as the noetic soul, rises within the psyche within that narrow space of free will as the authentic self. It has a universal prime directive to harmonize, integrate, and unify all the constituent parts of the mind. What is often lost and suppressed behind all our ego defense mechanisms and programmed scripts, with few moments of free expression throughout a person's lifetime. The sheer presence of the noetic soul within the mind has a gradual lifting and integration effect, as long as it does not lose control of the mind to the forces of the id complex. But left to its own process, without any intentional cooperation of the conscious mind, the natural lifting and integrating effect of the noetic soul on the psyche does not unify the mind within the course of a single human lifetime. The slow, resonant, interactive effect of the noetic soul on the mind and body is a larger operating function of the human evolution as an entire species over the long course of planetary time. This alchemical evolution of matter and consciousness toward a synchronized unity of mind, driven by the presence of the noetic soul, can be accelerated if we become aware of the dynamic and choose to cooperate with it. This is where we differentiate the natural process of nature and call it spiritual alchemy. But the truth is, everything in nature is already alchemical. The natural course of evolution is already following an alchemical process of higher and higher grades of transformation, leading toward a more self-actualized human being. To speed up this process demands self-awareness and conscious effort, and for this reason alone, most human beings will die without ever completing the unified mind, otherwise known as the monad. Humanity as a whole is evolving psychosomatically in this direction in group sync over the course of a spiraled evolution through the transmigration of the noetic soul through the noosphere of the Earth, organized and directed by Alpha and its law of sympathetic resonance. There are two types of transmigration of the noetic soul. One, recycled return, and two, reincarnation. In a recycled return, the noetic soul does not wake up inside its immortal primordial body in the eternal primordial universe after death of the physical body in the physical universe. Instead, the noetic soul remains trapped inside the temporal ethereal bodies belonging to its prior deceased physical body until the temporal group mind, noosphere, enveloping the physical earth, automatically recycles the temporal ethereal bodies of the mind with the noetic soul trapped inside into a new physical body by means of the law of sympathetic resonance. The temporal ethereal bodies are drawn to the same level of darkness within a new physical body that it had cultivated in its prior existence. Darkness begets more darkness. Reincarnation is when the noetic soul is freed after death from its temporal ethereal bodies, which function as non-physical dimensions of the human mind, and wakes up inside its immortal primordial body in the primordial universe, an eternal paradisical mother universe to the physical universe that parallel each other and are dual reflecting. While in the primordial, the human being decides where, when, and how to take a new physical body. When a noetic soul reincarnates, not just returns in Buddhist terms, this being is a bodhisattva. We are all participating in a special consciousness project here on Earth in the physical universe. We are all attempting to fulfill the universal prime directive of the human noetic soul in physical form. It has already been achieved on the primordial level. We are now attempting to achieve it on the physical level. The Earth is special in that most other worlds with sentient humanoid life are not attempting such a feat of creation because it requires the noetic soul to endure the darkness of the initial stages of the physical process that the alpha wave naturally takes us through. Other worlds have genetically severed their minds from the universal process, and by doing so, have set their species to remain eternally mortal in the physical universe. When naturally followed, the alpha wave mirrors and repeats, as a reverberating echo, the same process the universal went through at the cosmic level at the beginning of time. It is the only way alpha works, and only alpha can take us there. And this is the problem that other worlds have with alpha. These worlds consider the immortal monad the proverbial forbidden fruit. The alpha wave includes patterns within patterns and cycles within cycles. At the highest level, the alpha wave pattern unfolds in three major sequences, which mythologically are referred to as the Three Mountains. Spanning the Three Mountains is a series of several alchemical processes, and within each alchemical process, a set of alchemical labors. The medieval European alchemy modeled and labeled the noticeable alpha sequences and geometric stages of development with its own cryptographic code. It is even possible that they did it unconsciously, steered unknowingly by the cosmic quanta. Most people studying the alchemical processes via the lens of this cryptographic code assume that the alchemist must discover, understand, and then guide each alchemical process to unfold by employing a unique alchemical formula at each stage. This is wrong. The secret is understanding that the processes are already unfolding on their own in nature, and all we need to do is to become aware of it and learn how to support the process rather than oppose it. When we do, the momentum of the alpha wave pattern picks up its pace within you to quicken your own process toward the unification and integration of your mind, which mirrors the reconstitution of the monad at the cosmic level of creation, all in one lifetime. The reconstituted monad of the integrated unified mind is the self-actualized human being, the mythological Christ being, and the proverbial philosopher's stone. The natural rhythm of alpha is accelerated within you by application of a set of cognitive and psychosomatic practices called the three factors. The same three factors are practiced at every alpha interval of the alchemical process. Each interval of the alpha wave pattern unfolds on its own as long as the three factors are continuously practiced in earnest. Alpha directs the inward focus of the conscious mind on the different areas and levels of the psyche, and the various forces of the cosmic quanta at the time and place of its own choosing. The conscious mind of the alchemist only cooperates and supplies energy to the alpha wave via the three factors. It does not lead the process, Alpha leads the process. The conscious mind is able to observe and discern the different stages of the alpha wave unfoldment. Each pattern and sub-pattern are different. These differences give way to the differences portrayed in the mythological representations of each alchemical process. Depending on the level of nuance observed and differentiated by an alchemist, this creates a variation in the number of recorded stages between different alchemists. This is not a problem to be studied and solved. It is purely academic. The reason being is the alchemist does not initiate each stage of the alchemical process, and it does not guide each stage. Alpha does. And nor does the alchemist devise the methods. All the alchemist does is accelerate the process based on a few universal principles inherent to the operation of the universe. Spiritual alchemy unfolds organically through the force of alpha. Any attempt to synthesize the unified mind would lead to failure. The reunified mind cannot be engineered. In stark contrast to spiritual alchemy, this would be considered a method of dark alchemy. It would compel the de-evolution of the species. All that being said, it is quite interesting to compare what has been written and recorded by alchemists of the naturally occurring patterns of alpha, both in their mythological and purely expressed forms. On the next page is a comparison between each stage of the alchemical process I observed, experienced, and recorded when traversing the three mountains, alongside some popular descriptions of the stages found in the study of European alchemy. Eric P. Anthony, First Alchemical Process, First Mountain. The acceleration of the force of alpha. This happens in 12 consecutive stages, with each stage corresponding to one of the 12 bodies of the human being. The 12 bodies must be consumed by the sacred fire of alpha. This turns the temporal ethereal bodies from bodies of darkness into bodies of fire. European alchemy. Calcination, sometimes represented by the constellation of Aries. Modern definition of the word. To convert into calx by heating and burning. Calx is the oxide or ash substance which remains after metals, minerals, etc. have been thoroughly roasted or burned. Eric P. Anthony, Second Alchemical Process, Second Mountain. The transformation of the false selves via differentiation with the spirit. This process consolidates the authentic self within the noetic sphere of the mind. This process occurs across 9 alchemical labors, with each labor corresponding to a deeper level of the human psyche. Each level is represented by one of the major celestial bodies of the solar system. European alchemy, dissolution. The process of dissolving a solid material in a liquid solution, the reduction of a dry substance in water, sometimes represented by the constellation of Cancer. Modern definition of the word. In chemistry, the process by which a solid, gas, or liquid is dispersed homogeneously in a gas, solid, or especially a liquid. Eric P. Anthony, Third Alchemical Process, Second Mountain. The silencing of the temporal ethereal bodies. This occurs over the course of 4 alchemical labors, with each labor corresponding to one of the temporal ethereal bodies. 1. Temporal emotional, Jupiter. 2. Temporal mental, Saturn. 3. Temporal instinctive, Uranus. 4. Temporal vision, Neptune. This stage does not involve the temporal ethereal vital body, which is a hyper-extension of the physical body. Each body is alchemically stigmatized or crucified, thereby separating the bodies from their innate autocognitive programming, which suppresses the natural expression of the authentic self. European alchemy. Separation. The process of separation is often symbolized by swords, scythes, arrows, knives, and hatchets. The operation is represented by the constellation of Scorpio. Modern definition of the word, to set apart, disconnect, disassociate. Eric P. Anthony, Fourth Alchemical Process, Second Mountain. The first work inside the void. In this process, the conscious mind develops its profound capacity for supercognitive emotion while inside the void. We learn to communicate with the cosmic quanta, most importantly, the cosmic quanta of the divine soul. In this process, we begin filling the void residing at the center of all creation with the light of the non-creative divine source. European alchemy. Conjunction. Often symbolized by the coming together of the opposing forces of the sun and moon, or the king and queen. Modern definition of the word. In astronomy, the coincidence of two or more heavenly bodies at the same celestial longitude. In astrology, this is characterized by a unification of the planetary energies. Eric P. Antony, fifth alchemical process, third mountain. The conscious mind is tasked by Alpha to differentiate the causal influences rising out of the darkness of the temporal group mind and rise above them. The conscious mind must rise above the influences of the temporal group mind, thereby elevating the levels within the individual mind to a closer resonance with the divine soul. This process is called planet lifting. The fifth alchemical process involves the first four levels of planet lifting, corresponding to the first four levels of the eight levels of purgatory, called 1. Bardo, 2. Aeroplasia, 3. Gershon, and 4. Ferris. European alchemy, putrefaction, considered by some to be the first stage of the fermentation operation. Putrefaction is a digestion process in which decomposing essences are reabsorbed. The process is represented by the constellation of Leo. Modern definition of the word. The process of causing something to decay or break down. Eric P. Antony. Sixth alchemical process, third mountain. The sixth alchemical process involves the second four levels of planet lifting corresponding to the second four levels of the eight levels of purgatory, called 5. Vishu, 6. Aurel, 7. Serafina, and 8. Parabenalaya. In the sixth alchemical process, the main stressor is the automation of the individualized life form compelled by an underlying broadcast within the temporal group mind, to automatically steer the evolution of the species. The conscious mind must break free and rise above the temporal group mind's effort to control human evolution. In this way, our alchemy begins directing our evolution rather than our evolution directing our alchemy. This is accomplished through a differentiation with the divine soul. The mind becomes free of the forces of evolution, allowing it to follow Alpha back to the divine source. European alchemy, cibation. Cibation is a process involving the addition of new material to the contents of the crucible. It requires adding liquid to the desiccated matter at precisely the right moment. Modern definition of the word, the act of taking food, the operation of feeding the contents of the crucible with fresh material. Eric P. Antony, seventh alchemical process, third mountain. The process of planet lifting continues. Here the alchemist focuses on and differentiates the resonance between his or her temporal bodies and the deeply profound spiritual resonance of the Divine Father. This process lifts the vibrational resonance of the temporal bodies of the alchemist's being into consecutive levels of higher resonance with the heavenly realms of the spiritual group mind of the earth, one heaven at a time. This process concludes with a profound realization of the Divine Trinity. European alchemy, sublimation. The first stage of what some alchemists call coagulation, in which the vapors solidify. This stage is represented by the constellation of Libra, the vaporization of a solid without fusing or melting, followed by the condensation of its vapor in the re-solidified form on a cool surface, the elevation of a dry thing by fire with an adherence to its vessel. Modern definition of the word. The transition of a substance directly from a solid to the gas phase without passing through the intermediate liquid phase. Eric P. Antony, eighth alchemical process, third mountain. Awareness of the eighth alchemical process is suppressed and made secret by the forces of darkness, not by God, and therefore its knowledge is revealed inside of what is called the Great Arcanum. Primordial alchemy is the eighth alchemical process. It occurs at the final stage of the third mountain when the alchemist enters the third sanctum. In this process, the bond of resonance, love, between the human noetic soul and the Father is tested by the forces of Eros. This testing period is called the tithing, when the bond of that resonance love is tested and confirmed. The covenant of the Father's love is restored within the matrix of creation. At this point, the forces of heaven, the Father, now have an avenue and a means to bring the forces of the earth, creation, into harmony with its spirit via its unbreakable bond with the human noetic soul. This is the Holy Grail. The holy blood symbolizes the resonance of the Father running through veins of creation. This process brings the alchemist's physical body of creation into unity with the divine source. This is the Christ monad. European alchemy, fermentation, represented by the constellation of Capricorn. It is a two-stage process which begins with the fifth alchemical process of putrefaction. Fermentation is said to be the fifth alchemical process, but it depends how someone differentiates the processes. It is more accurate to separate the first stage of fermentation into the alchemical processes of putrefaction, cibation, and sublimation, and make fermentation the label for its own second stage. Modern definition of the word. Derived from the word ferment, which is agitation, unrest, excitement, commotion, tumult, an organized ferment can bring about fermentation. Fermentation among yeast enzymes converts grape sugar into ethyl alcohol, ultimately wine. Eric P. Antony, completion of the monad. The completion of creation via the reconstitution of the monad, which is symbolized in mythology as Christ. Christ is the reconstituted monad within the human being. This stage is not an alchemical process in and of itself. It is the completion milestone and manifestation of a new heaven and a new earth within the unified human being. European alchemy, exaltation. The alchemical stage where the substance is raised into a pure and more perfect nature. This is philosopher's stone. Modern definition of the word, to glorify or elevate in rank or character. Eric P. Antony, ninth alchemical process. Mount Elohim. The ninth alchemical process is the continuous, never-ending expansion of the Christ monad called eternal alchemy. The Christ monad, philosopher's stone, is achieved but not perfected with completion of the eighth alchemical process. The ninth alchemical process emerges after the completion of the Christ monad to perfect it. However, a new paradox emerges. The process of perfecting the monad is never completed. It's eternal. This is why this level of alchemy is called eternal alchemy. The cosmic level of the physical universe is now engaged in its own ninth alchemical process of eternal alchemy. At an individual level, humans are being led by Alpha to eventually enter into the process of eternal alchemy. The straight path, three mountains, takes us there in one lifetime. The spiral path takes us there over many lifetimes. In eternal alchemy practice, the alchemist brings into differential resonance 1. The infinite depth of the awareness of the Father, with 2. The infinite depth of the forces of darkness within matter. In the eternal alchemy practice, the awareness of the Father lines up behind the self-observing awareness of the conscious mind via the intercession of the noetic soul. This compels the Father to observe and realize the body of creation of the human being and for the darkness in matter to continuously rise up into unity with the Father. This drives the eternal expansion of the monad, Christ monad. European alchemy, multiplication. The stage employed to increase the potency of the philosopher's stone, elixir, or projection powder. It occurs near the end of the magnum opus in order to increase the gains in the subsequent projection. Modern definition of the word, the process of repeated addition, growth, and inflation. Alchemy, meditation practices. Alchemical meditation, level 1 practice. The meditation practices an alchemist uses to transform and integrate the mind are introduced in levels as it takes consistent daily practice to develop the inner cognitive faculties to engage in the more advanced practices. The level 1 meditation practice orients a person in how the mind is structured. With this practice, we begin to learn how to 1. Self-observe, and 2. and develop a means of gaining self-knowledge. The meditation practice and orientation are as follows. 1. Sit in a comfortable position. 2. Quiet your mind for a few minutes with a breathing exercise where your mind is focused on your breathing. 3. As your mind wanders, bring your focus back to your breathing. Inhale through your nostrils in moderate, deep breaths, and then exhale through your mouth. Once you are relaxed and more focused, go to the next step. 4. Focus on the heart area of your chest. While your mind is focused on this area of your body, recall a past emotional experience. 5. Now notice the feeling, the mood, the flavor, the quality of energy of this emotion in the heart area of your chest. 6. Now focus on a completely different emotional experience from your past and recall the emotion. 7. Notice how the feeling, the mood, the flavor, the energy of this emotion changes in the heart area when you change to a different memory of a different emotional experience. 8. While you are in a seated meditation, shift the focus of your mind back to the first emotional experience you recalled when you were studying your emotional center. 9. Now with this mood firmly in your mind, shift your focus to your mental center in your head and take notice of the flavor of the same mood in your mental center and the types of thoughts running through it. 10. Once you have captured this mood in your mental center, and you have understood it the best you can, shift to the second experience you recalled while studying your emotional center. 11. Now with this mood firmly in your mind, shift your focus to your mental center in your head and take notice of the flavor of the mood in your mental center and the types of thoughts running through it. 12. Now contemplate how each mood from the two experiences which you were recalling had a different expression or flavor in the mental center. 13. Switch between the moods a couple of times to realize this. 14. Also notice that the same mood has a different expression between the emotional center and the mental center, yet you still know it is the same mood. This is an innate realization. 15. Just as you use the two different life experiences with different corresponding moods to learn about the emotional and mental centers, you must now repeat this practice with your instinctive center, instinctive temporal ethereal body felt in your abdomen. 16. Then repeat this practice with your motor center, corresponding to the physical body, felt between your shoulder blades. 17. Then repeat this practice with your sexual center, corresponding to both your physical body and vital temporal ethereal bodies, felt in your genitals. Self-observation. Before we proceed into explaining levels 2 and 3 of the alchemical meditation practice, the practice of self-observation is explained as it serves as an extension of the level 1 practice. When we are not meditating, we need to take our developing inner senses and learn to keep an inner eye on our moods while we go about the day. When going about the day, we can narrow our inner focus to just our emotional, mental, and instinctive centers. When self-observing and going about the day, we are just taking self-reflective mental snapshots of our inner moods. Later in the day, when we can meditate, we should enter seated meditation and retrospectively go back to the moments during which we had observed certain moods. Allow the memory of these moods to bring back the mood itself. Once the mood has returned, we should focus on the mood in all 5 centers of the mind, 1 center at a time. Alchemical meditation. level two practice. There are two key differences between the level one and level two meditation practices. Difference one, in the level two practice, we incorporate prayer into the meditation practice. Difference two, in the level two practice, we go beyond observing, feeling, and understanding the moods to actually transforming them. As we practice alchemical meditation every day for at least 1 hour per day, our inner sense of self-observation will become so acute that the moods will subdivide into very distinct individual formations of the mind called false selves. We see or sense the false selves with our inner cognitive feelings. It is essential in alchemy that we learn to see with our inner feelings rather than to see visually with the mind's eye. In this practice, the eyes of the mind will deceive you, but the heart will always tell you the truth. 1. During the level 2 alchemical meditation practice, when we are focused on the specific mood we wish to transform, after having reached a deep level of understanding of the mood in each of the 5 centers, we should pray to the spirit for the mood to transform. Pray from your heart. No script is necessary. 2. This prayer should be made repeatedly in a state of meditation while focused on the mood, shifting your focus on the mood between each of the 5 centers. Each center of the mind reveals a different dimension of the same mood. 3. Once the false selves become visible to our inner sense of cognitive feeling, the alchemist must focus on only one false self at a time, otherwise transformation will not occur. You cannot kill 2 birds with the same stone. 4. During the alchemical meditation practice, when we focus on a false self and when we are praying to the spirit for a particular false self to be transformed, there are many within the psyche, we should be watchful with our feelings for a change in energy of the targeted false self, where the targeted false self starts losing its power and form. 5. When we see the targeted false self within us losing form, we should pray to the spirit to reveal the authentic self being trapped by the false self. 6. When we witness a new aspect of the authentic self, we must focus on it in all 5 centers, 1 center at a time. We will notice something very unique about the authentic self versus the false selves. The liberated aspect of the authentic self has an even quality of energy or feeling between all 5 centers. There is no variation between the centers. This is how we know the difference within us between our authentic self and a false self. Alchemical Meditation, Level 3 Practice. The Level 3 alchemical meditation practice includes all the same components and methods as the Level 2 practice, but adds a new force of consciousness, which catapults the alchemical practice to an entirely new stage of development. This new force is the spirit. 1. During the meditation practice, when the alchemist is focused on a false self, and he or she has gone beyond the intellectual understanding of the false self, the alchemist should pray to the spirit to reveal, help to feel, both the authentic self trapped by the false self, as well as the light of the spirit itself. 2. The observer first feels the false self. Then, during prayer, the spirit emerges. The observer then holds the inner feelings of both the false self and the spirit together, in contrast within his or her mind, and then finally the authentic self emerges out of a transformed false self. 3. When the observer holds both the higher feeling of the spirit and the lower feeling of the false self in the mind in the very same moment, the law of sympathetic vibrations goes into motion, alpha, to correct the disharmony between the two. This is differential resonance. 4. The result of differential resonance is the liberation of the aspect of the authentic self, which was trapped by the targeted false self. 5. This practice is repeated thousands of times for every false self discovered within you, and subsequently for every automatic program found within the deep cognitive sphere of your mind. The wound is the place where the light enters you. Rumi. Note: the practice of differential resonance within alchemical meditation is the grand alchemical key. It has either been lost for thousands of years or held secret by a few overzealous alchemists. Without this key, the alchemist would struggle endlessly and ultimately end up nowhere. It was thought by some that the sexual practices of the second factor formed the lost key. This is wrong. The sexual practices only support the alchemical process. They do not lead the process. Differential resonance leads the alchemical process. The three factors lead us to the moment of differential resonance in the alchemical meditation practice, but when we arrive at this moment, the triangulation of the observer in conjunction with the spirit and a targeted element of the mind is the grand alchemical key which brings everything into fruition. When the spirit and a false self, an element of the mind, are held in contrast in a state of differentiation, transformation occurs. Transformation occurs due to the false self being compelled by the law of sympathetic vibration to collaborate its resonance with the resonance of the spirit, triggered by the intervention of a conscious mind observing the two in contrast simultaneously. This is differential resonance. Its principle is the foundation of alchemy. The observer must gain a higher emotional knowledge of all three observed components during the meditation process. By higher emotional knowledge, this means we must sense and realize the knowledge beyond thought and contemplation. The three observed components are 1, false self, 2, spirit, and 3, new aspects of the authentic self. Knowledge of the spirit is beyond the range of common human emotion, and therefore is beyond anything the temporal mind can imagine. However, it first emerges only the size of a mustard seed. As we transform one false self after another within the contrasting light of the spirit, our relationship with the spirit grows, and we are led deeper into the mystery of the third factor. Transformation on the go. A common response I hear from those contemplating doing the alchemical work is, "I don't have time." The truth is, the alchemical work does not require much time. The work is done in parallel to all your everyday life activities. Initially, there is a concerted effort required with the first factor to develop the mind's ability to transform. But this training period does not last long until the mechanics of the meditation practice can be performed with quick inner focuses while you go about your day. Other people will not even be aware of your alchemical work. Once the alchemist is well on the way, the alchemist will only occasionally need seated meditation to transform something large he or she is working with. Most of the psychic mass of the mind, however, is transformed while we go about the day. We can transform while we drive, walk, or work. Differential resonance on the go becomes the most common of all alchemical practices. There is no separate instruction for performing the practice on the go. The alchemist just needs to self-experiment and attempt the practice while not in a seated meditation. In brief time, the alchemist will learn to walk. It is important that the first factor practice of transformation, transition from a meditation practice requiring a seated position, to a practice of transformation we practice while in motion, on the go. Being able to transform on the go is more efficient as we lose fewer opportunities to realize and transform. The entire transformation process can happen while we are working, driving, walking, etc. The alchemical practice is repeated non-stop as we move from one life moment to the next, on the go. We must always remain vigilant and present in order to capture each automatic reaction of our mind attempting to disrupt our natural center of gravity. We must learn to live in the now. Therefore, a person cannot say they do not have time to practice alchemy. In fact, alchemy creates more time in your life because it makes you more present, and therefore more efficient. And by being more efficient, you gain more time. A. Continued. Alpha. Alpha is the operating force of the law of sympathetic resonance. Alpha continually raises and recognizes creation to increasingly higher levels of existence until reaching a point where all the forces become harmonized into a new singularity or reconstituted monad, unity. Alpha emerges as a force driven by a will expressed within the original divine monad of Ein Sof to reconstitute the unity between all things which the process of creation initially multiplies. In the process of integrating and unifying the human mind, Alpha emerges as the guiding force in directing the unification process. The force of Alpha rises to a higher tempo within the human being when the conscious mind becomes aware of the unification process and decides to cooperate with it. This cooperation is spiritual alchemy. Similar or equivalent terms, grace, presence, Shakti, Hindu, Shen, Chinese, the spirit moving within all things, Lipan, Apache, etc. Alpha Principle, Law of One. The Alpha Principle is an underlying law in the universe driving all things within creation toward an eventual reunification with the divine source, original monad from which all things emerged. Because creation emerges spontaneously and automatically out of the source, it initially emerges in chaos and darkness. A will, word, light, logos, emerges out of the divine source to reunify creation with the source to bring all things out of darkness. The force of this will is Alpha. Alpha is the operating force of the law of sympathetic resonance. In a reunified state where creation is brought into a new unity with the divine source, the mind internally reflects an awareness of the Father, the Godhead of awareness within the source possessing the seat of creation. The Alpha Principle is a fundamental law in the universe, superseding all other forces to carry out the will of the Father to reunify creation with the divine source. Alpha Wave. When the force of Alpha emerges to impose its force upon creation to reorganize it and lead it toward a reunification with the divine source, this reorganization unfolds as a noticeable geometric pattern. It repeats among all scales and objects of creation. This geometric pattern is the alpha wave. The alpha wave is what caused matter to organize and the atom to form. The alpha wave is the undercurrent directing the formation of the galaxies and all the laws of the universe. Alpha could very well be the force behind what physicists call dark energy. Physicists call it dark because they don't understand it. They don't understand it because they are searching for only a mechanical explanation for it. The alpha wave emerges as a result of the source consciousness expressing a will to reunify creation. To date, modern physics has been unwilling to formulate a system within which consciousness by itself is a key causal factor. Angel. In various theistic traditions, an angel is a supernatural spiritual being who serves God. The angel is a universal symbol arising out of the collective unconscious to manifest in Earth mythology. Angels represent a few different phenomena. 1. Angels in clouds playing musical instruments represent the very real supernatural phenomena of the spiritual group mind enshrining the primordial Earth. The hierarchy of angels symbolizes the gradient levels of resonance our temporal mind ascends while harmonizing with the life, love, and awareness of the Divine Father. Each gradient level of resonance aligns with each bandwidth of the spiritual group mind of the Earth. 2. All life in the physical universe, including every human being, has both a physical side and a primordial side. The primordial side of every human being is angelic in comparison to the physical side. Upon physical death, the human noetic soul is recalled by its primordial being to reawaken in its primordial body. Upon reawakening, it reassumes its same primordial life in the eternal realm of the primordial universe. It picks up where it left off before living a physical existence. Every human being living on Earth in the primordial universe plays a critical role in managing the Earth monad project ongoing on Earth in the physical universe. Human beings in the primordial are constantly reaching out to human beings in the physical, including our deceased family and ancient ancestors. In this context, angels represent the primordial side reaching out to the physical side. 3. The cosmic quanta are the superintelligent forces of consciousness underlying our known reality within the pantheon of cosmic forces. They collectively form the noumenon. The conscious mind of the human being has the innate ability to communicate with these forces through superempathic resonance. The practice of quantum meditation teaches and trains the conscious mind to communicate with the forces of the cosmic quanta. The cosmic quanta can be interpreted as angels when they're passing information to the conscious mind. 4. Many of the characters in the Bible identified as angels may very well have been physical sentient beings from other planets, visiting the humanity on Earth in the ancient past. They could very well have been our own ancient ancestors and progenitors helping us and guiding us during the cradle period of our human civilization. A popular title for this is Ancient Aliens. Apprentice. An alchemist in the First Mountain is an apprentice. The main objective of the apprentice in the First Mountain is the acceleration of the force of Alpha within. This acceleration occurs over the course of the 12 developmental stages spanning all 12 bodies of the temporal spiritual anatomy of the human being. The self-organizing force of the universe, Alpha, is directing all human beings to develop a harmonious unification of mind with the divine source. Alpha is driving everyone to rebuild the monad within creation. When people cooperate with this force in a subconscious manner, they continue to reincarnate life after life in lockstep with the rest of humanity on the planet to achieve the same goal. This slow, many-lifetime approach is called the spiral path. When people wake up to the process Alpha is guiding them upon and decide to cooperate with it, the process speeds up within them and they can complete the monad in one lifetime. This accelerated approach is called the straight path. When the straight path emerges, Alpha directs the conscious mind of the person through three major stages in development of the monad, which in Hermetic lore are called the Three Mountains. As stated, an alchemist in the First Mountain is an apprentice. An alchemist in the Second Mountain is a journeyman. An alchemist in the Third Mountain is a foreman. See Three Mountains. When on the spiral path, the human being traverses all three mountains simultaneously. We experience flashes of each mountain throughout the course of our life. This occurs over many physical existences in lockstep with all other human beings on Earth. When on the straight path, the three mountains separate and we climb each mountain sequentially, one after one. Ironically, climbing the mountains sequentially is faster than climbing them all together. The later in life we begin the three mountain journey, the faster we move through them due to the accumulation of our current life experiences and realizations. Astral body. The astral body is a generic term for any one of the ethereal bodies. There are 5 temporal ethereal bodies corresponding to the temporal hemisphere of the mind and the physical body, and 5 spiritual ethereal bodies corresponding to the spiritual hemisphere of the mind and the primordial body. Altogether, the human being has 12 bodies. The ethereal bodies are all instruments of the mind. They are not part of the soul. The soul is the life force associated with any function of awareness. Orleon. The Orleon is a vision held within the cosmic mind of a human being's ultimate created form that the human being is slowly evolving toward life after life in the physical universe. Upon physical death, the mind recoils up inside the primordial hemisphere of the human being and is then reprojected into a new physical life. The best qualities and realizations of the temporal mind are saved by the primordial being and are reused within each new physical existence, until eventually achieving a likeness of the vision held within the cosmic mind. This vision is the Orleon. Only the aspects of the temporal physical being which resonate with the divine source are kept and saved by the primordial being after physical death. Mythological equivalences. The Golden Fleece. Authentic Self. The authentic self is a term applied to the noetic soul, human soul, when viewed as a component within an overall psychological model of the human mind. It is necessary to differentiate that which is authentic within the mind versus that which is false. That which emerges from the noetic soul is real and is called the authentic self when viewed as the natural governing principle of the psyche. There are other constructs of the mind which originate from the automated programs left over as artifacts of human evolution which suppress the clear expression of the authentic self. These constructs are considered false. The conscious mind has the ability to differentiate the authentic self from that which is false by utilizing the energy of the spirit to differentiate that which is false from authentic. The process for facilitating this differentiation is done through alchemical meditation. The most important aspect of the authentic self, alternatively called the noetic soul or human soul, is that it functions as the observer within the human being and within all realms of creation. It is the intercessor between divinity and creation, whose mission and prime directive is to reconcile creation and the divine source to reconstitute the monad. In the alchemical meditation practices, the mind is split into the observer and the observed, to ultimately transform the observed psychic material in the process of unifying the human mind. The authentic self should not be confused with the personality or the id. The personality and the id have different origins. Their functions within the mind are ultimately transformed, elevated, and integrated through the alchemical process. See Alchemy Meditation Practices. The ultimate goal of the alchemical work is to achieve a unity between all dimensions of mind, body, and consciousness made possible through the innate latent ability within all things to achieve a sympathetic resonance between all things. Alpha is the momentum of the universe reorganizing in response to a greater harmony being realized between two or more bodies of nature. These bodies can be either animate or inanimate. This is the self-organizing alchemical principle of the universe. The process of applied alchemy is all about learning how to leverage and accelerate this universal principle. Alpha is elevated to increasingly higher degrees of amplification within the mind-body system of the alchemist when we are properly working with the three factors. Alpha is accelerated when a conscious mind fixes its internal observation on two or more elements within the mind-body system, which should be in resonance but are not. These elements are observed with our inner cognitive awareness, or in other words, with our feelings. It is a faculty of higher emotional intelligence. When observing the psychic elements of the mind within us, it is not our conscious mind which decides which elements are in resonance or not in resonance. Alpha measures and determines this. We only need to become conscious of the lower elements within us which suppress the free expression of our authentic self, and then introduce the higher forces of the spirit, which each lower element will transform its resonance to harmonize with. This process frees our authentic self and allows our mind to consolidate and unify. This practice is repeated over and over, moment to moment, unseen by the outside world. This is how we come to know the authentic self. Similar or equivalent terms, noetic soul, human soul, essence, true self, the observer. Autocognition. Autocognitive. Autocognition is when the cognitive functions of perception and instinct are led into perceiving, feeling, and responding in an automated way, based upon an innate programming of the mind whose basis is found in the neurological wiring of the brain. The autocognitive mind functions robotically. The robotic program is an artifact of evolution instilled in the species to promote and guide the survival and reproduction of the species. Autocognitive period. The autocognitive period is the first of three major periods in the development of how consciousness emerges and functions within the mind. In the autocognitive period, the conscious mind has not yet grown to question its own existence. It operates purely under the direction of the automated programs wired in the neurological systems of the species. The automated systems guide the animal's perception, instincts, and choices. in order to guide the natural selection and evolution of the species. Most life forms on Earth exist at some level within the autocognitive period. When sentience begins to develop within a species, reflective awareness emerges faster than the autonomic programs of nature can recede and switch off. The autonomic programs of nature become a form of evolutionary baggage, disproportionately influencing the human mind, in direct conflict with the human being's emerging reflective awareness of the original source consciousness, thereby forming the disorder. This disorder is a critical catalyst which propels a human species through a major period in the evolution of consciousness, called the prelescent period. Our humanity on Earth is currently in its prelescent period. There are three major periods in the development of reflective awareness within a species, with minor levels or degrees within each period. The three major periods are identified as autocognitive, prelescent, and emergent. Thank you for listening to this sample. To continue listening to this book and for access to all of our other full audiobooks, please subscribe for $7.77 per month. Go to adultbrain.ca or follow the link in the show notes. This will be a completely separate podcast with a new RSS feed and will have all the titles from this feed as well. Thank you for your help and support in bringing rare and forgotten books to audio for the world.